Hi, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Welcome to Tumble, the show where we explore stories of science discovery.
Today, we're following a secret map to a hidden treasure.
Ooh, what's the treasure?
The treasure is a bottle of seeds buried over 140 years ago. We're going to follow the scientists on a mission under the cover of night to dig it up in one of the longest-running experiments in history.
Before we get to this week's episode, we've got some new patrons to thank on Patreon. Vita Lev, Penelope Miller, Ishan and Avni, Lucian, and Tessa Cork. Thanks so much for becoming new supporters of Tumble on Patreon. And if you're waiting for birthday shout-out, don't worry, you'll get it at the end of the episode. Just keep listening. All right, so we're hunting for treasure. So tell me, is this bottle of seeds, like, are the seeds made of gold, or do you plant them and a magic tree grows that grants wishes? Because that's a cool science thing.
Very scientific. But before we find out the secret of the treasure, let's meet our guide.
I'm David Lowry.
Oh, I know that guy. That's our friend David.
Yeah, we've known David and his family for years, beginning when David was just getting his start as a plant biologist.
And yeah, don't get him started about switchgrass.
Seriously. David is now a full-grown scientist at Michigan State University, home to an epic seed experiment. And when I asked David about it, he started by telling me a legend.
Every treasure hunt starts with a legend.
A long time ago, in 1879, a scientist here by the name of Beale planted the seed experiment.
William James Beale was a pioneering plant biologist. He did lots of amazing things.
Probably the most famous of which was to develop hybrid corn, which is grown now all over the United States and the main way we produce corn.
So that makes him famous in certain circles, I imagine.
Crop circles.
The seed experiment was just one of many things he did, but it probably has become one of the more famous ones because it's lived on to this day.
It's called the Beale Seed Experiment.
Only famous experiments get names.
So Beale was very interested in the question of how long seeds would survive in the soil.
It's a simple question and kind of a simple experiment. It's a lot like the one that many of us have done at school or at home.
Like when you take a bean and test the different conditions for a plant to sprout, like how much light it gets or what kind of soil it's in or how much water it has or how recently you've eaten it.
Exactly. But Beale's condition was time, a lot of time. Here's why.
Oftentimes we think of seeds as just being kind of boring. They just kind of sit there. They don't do anything. But in reality, seeds are these amazing ways that plants stay in the state of suspended animation up to many years.
So meaning that the seeds aren't like really alive, but not really dead either, just like full of potential.
Right. When you're talking about seeds in a packet or seeds underground, they last more than one season, but we don't know how long.
So there's not like an expiration date printed on it?
Because no.
You should just look at that.
No, but Beale wanted to know the expiration date. So he set up an experiment that would last 100 years.
What he did was he put seeds from 23 different species into 20 different bottles, and he had 50 seeds of each species that he put into those bottles.
23 different kinds of seeds and 50 of each seed divided into 20 bottles. So somebody do that math problem.
And then he dug a big hole in the ground and he buried the glass bottles in a row. So all 20 of them in a row.
The next step was to dig up one bottle every 5 years at night so as not to disturb the seeds in the other bottles.
You stay asleep, little seedies. Don't be disturbed by the people digging up your home.
Then Beale would plant the seeds from that bottle and see what sprouted.
So what did he see?
He would see little grasses and tiny little flowers in his flat of soil. He'd write down how many sprouts there were. And he did this until he got really old and decided to pass the experiment on to a younger scientist. And that scientist decided to make the experiment even longer.
Yeah, so at one point it became clear that a lot of the seeds were still germinating, and the experiment would only last 100 years with those 20 jars.
Beale's question wouldn't be answered if there were still seeds sprouting at the end of the experiment.
And so the decision was made to stretch it out to every 10 years.
Now the digs are every 20 years.
Because the seeds just keep growing.
Right. The experiment and the location of the bottles was passed down from scientist to scientist with the help of a secret map.
A secret map? Like, is it all crusty and yellowed and the ink is faded and it says, "Arr, find me seedy treasure."
No, this is not Beale's original map. No. That would be fantastic if it was.
I'm not sure that Beale would have marked his seedy treasure anyway, but the map is a modern one.
And it still has the secret thing going for it. So I guess so no one decides to go searching for buried treasure and then accidentally ruins a 141-year-old experiment.
Exactly. Only a small group of plant biologists who work at Michigan State are allowed to dig it up. And David is one of them.
Oh, I'm very excited. I first heard about this experiment about 20 years ago when they dug it up the last time. And I've been fascinated by it since then.
The legend loomed large in his mind, especially the first time he ever visited Michigan State.
And I wandered around campus wondering where these bottles might be actually hidden. Never thinking that it would actually be a faculty member here, let alone actually digging up the bottles tonight.
I was talking to David just hours before the dig. He was going to get up at 3 a.m. to meet the rest of the team. But things didn't go exactly as planned on this legendary seed quest.
So what happened?
Well, a few days after the dig, David told me how it all went down. The night started like a spy operation.
Yeah, so we all met up at an undisclosed location, and we came in at different times.
So no one could follow them. That's clever.
But they're not trained spies. They're scientists.
We're all a little bit nervous about it because, you know, didn't know exactly what was going to happen.
Only one member of their group had been on the last dig 20 years before.
Frank, he had been at the previous dig, but he hadn't actually done the dig. He showed up late when it was already dug up. So none of us actually knew exactly what we were doing.
So the person with the most experience turns out to have surprisingly poor experience.
Exactly. The map was mostly what they had to go on. They grabbed shovels and their other gear and they head out.
We were going out in the middle of the night, 4 a.m., wandering out with our crew, trying to be as quiet as possible, walking across the MSU campus to find the secret location where the seeds are buried.
It was spring, but the crew was bundled up in coats and hats.
There was snow falling down from the sky. It was cold. There's a waft of the skunk smell that came through. It was kind of the full Michigan experience.
Finally, they arrive in the area covered by the map.
Yeah, so the map, we had landmarks that were out there that we had to measure off of.
Like a building they might recognize, or the wise rabbit.
Right, the wise ancient rabbit.
Like, ye be searching the seeds.
That's what a rabbit sounds like.
The wise ones.
So the idea is that if you have two points that you're measuring from, and you know the distance from those two points, you can take a tape measure from one and, let's say, measure it out 16 feet, and you can take the tape measure from the other landmark and measure it out 8 feet or so. And they'll only intersect each other in one place when you do that.
The two tape measures put together make an X where they intersect.
It be the seeds ye seek. Between these tape measures ye shall peek.
What are you going for?
22.6.
8.3.
Okay, that's where we're at, right here.
Ta-da!
All right.
I found it.
Beale didn't just plant the bottles in the ground. He put them into a concrete box called a vault with four sides but no lid, so it's filled in with dirt.
The X marks the spot for the corner of the vault.
The team started digging.
So what we did was we carefully removed the top part of the soil, like the upper layer with the plants that were on there, and moved them to the side so that we could put it back on top afterwards.
Okay, it's got lift.
They wanted to leave as few signs as possible that something had been dug up there.
And then we dug down into the soil with a shovel, just pretty much a simple hand shovel.
They knew the bottles were 16 inches below the surface. When they were close, they stopped shoveling. They didn't want to damage the bottles.
Then we were pretty much digging with our hands at that point, and sandy soil, so we could actually, it was kind of like being on the beach.
Please be here, please be here.
This is so cool. Definitely feels like a direct line to history.
They dug down deeper and deeper and deeper.
There you go. It's 18 inches right there.
Yep.
So it's got to be.
But the bottles weren't there. Reaching through the dirt in the dark, all they could feel was the edge of the vault.
Wait, so what happened?
David had a suspicion that they'd read the map wrong.
That always happens to me.
What had happened was one team member was holding the map inside his jacket to keep it from getting wet.
We kept taking it out, unfolding it, looking at it, saying, "Ah, this doesn't seem right," and then putting it back inside the jacket.
So they weren't really able to study the map.
No, and David told me that the team as a whole really hadn't spent too much time with it before.
I kind of realized I was the only one who had actually seen the map before.
Well, so they're basically just flying blind.
David finally insists on stopping the dig and taking a good hard look at the map.
So it's not 3 feet inside, it's 3 feet outside.
I think 3 feet outside the outside, right?
Okay.
The team realized that instead of digging into the vault, they dug outside the vault.
So you had to kind of squint at the map and see like, oh, look, the dotted lines go to the right-hand corner and not the left-hand corner of the vault. And at that point, it was like, okay, we need to shift over.
So we might need to come this way a little bit?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Shoot.
So they dig again. And finally, Marjorie hit something.
Oh.
What's that?
I think I found it. Wait, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, really? We lost Marjorie!
Oh, it was a rock.
Marjorie was down there in the hole, and she was feeling around for it, and she kept hitting tree roots and rocks and things like that.
David's getting nervous at this point.
There was definitely some frustrating moments. And with that pressure of that time, I think all of us, it crossed our mind that we might have to bury everything and come back and try again another day.
Oh, no.
Marjorie was the only one who could fit into the hole, and everyone else just stood around watching helplessly. They had about 15 minutes until the sun would start to rise.
So once the birds started chirping and doing their dawn chorus, then we knew the sunrise was coming. And then the pressure really turned on.
But at last...
Okay, now I for real found it.
You did?
Yeah, I definitely did.
Sweet.
Yeah, look at that.
Marjorie carefully removes just one bottle, leaving the rest untouched for future generations.
Oh, don't spill it.
There it is.
Wow. There it is.
The bottle's made of thick, clear glass with a long neck and a rectangular body. It's filled to the top with sand, and the seeds are hiding inside of it.
Mission accomplished.
Not yet. The seeds have to make it back to their new home without anyone spilling or breaking the bottle.
So did David get to carry it?
No, that was a job he definitely didn't want.
I'm a klutz when it comes to science things.
Wait, so isn't he a scientist? So, like... what things is he not a klutz with?
He's actually a great ice skater.
Olympic figure skating, fine. Can land that triple lutz, no klutz.
But when it comes to science things, do not hand me a beaker. Ultimately, another scientist drove the bottle back, and the whole team goes down to the basement of the building.
And so the basement of the plant biology buildings has a bunch of different facilities down there, and including over 200 of what we call growth chambers. And these are like giant things that look like huge refrigerators that have open doors on the sides of them.
These growth chambers are designed for scientists to run their plant experiments under precise conditions, from the light to the temperature.
So we took the bottle and we spread it out on top of a flat full of topsoil, and we wetted the soil. and then place that flat carefully inside of one of the growth chambers.
With the seeds finally settled in soil around 8 a.m., David was done being a scientist spy treasure hunter. Now his job was to check to see if anything sprouted. And a few days later...
looking over the soil. Oh my God, there's something that germinated.
It was one tiny, very normal-looking, two-leafed little sprout coming up from the soil.
Wow. From a seed older than my great-grandparents.
Oh my gosh. I didn't expect to see anything today. This is... wow.
I love how excited David is. He's like a proud plant dad.
In the days after, other seedlings followed.
Yeah, so at this point, we have 9 seedlings that have germinated, and they all look like the same species.
Wow, so that means Beal's experiment isn't over. We still don't know how long seeds can last.
The experiment is scheduled to go on to 2100, 221 years after Beal started the experiment. David plans to be at the next dig, and after that...
yeah, I'll make sure that the map gets passed along to somebody else. At this point, we have the buddy system going where at least 2 people on campus need to know where this thing is. We can't just have it be one person anymore.
So one thing we learned is make sure to study the treasure map in advance of the treasure hunt.
For sure. And here's another thing David's taking away from the experience.
To really have the long-term perspective on science, and that, you know, what you do today may have an impact many years in the future.
You too could send scientists 100 years in the future on a wild mission in the middle of the night.
For science.
Now why don't you try being Beal and make your own treasure map?
Choose a spot to bury or place a seedy treasure. Using a tape measure, measure the distances from 2 nearby landmarks. The treasure should be where the 2 measurements cross and make an X.
Write down the measurements and then draw your map and see if a friend or family member can follow it to find your treasure.
Then send us a photo of your treasure map. We'd love to see it. Thanks to Dr. David Bryant Lowry, Associate Professor of Plant Biology at Michigan State University. Thanks also to MSU Communications for the audio used in the story.
To learn more about the Beal seed experiment, listen to our bonus interview episode with David. It's available to patrons who pledge just $1 a month or more on patreon.com/tumblepodcast.
Plus, you can learn more about the experiment and plant biology in general at our website, sciencepodcastforkids.com. You can also upload your drawings and photos to us there, or email them to us at tumblepodcast@gmail.com.
Claire Glendening is our intern. Sarah Robertson-Lentz designed the episode art and is our head of partnerships.
I'm Lindsay Patterson, and I wrote and produced this episode.
And I'm Marshall Escamilla, and I made all of the music. Tumble is a production of Tumble Media. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for more stories of science discovery. Thanks so much for listening to that episode. Now that it's all over, we got a bunch of birthday shoutouts to do. Charlie Young, happy birthday on May 14th to the sweetest and most curious boy around. Mom and Dad love you and Tess to the moon and back. Emma Jane, happy birthday on May 14th. Joshua, stay comfortable being you and keep asking those incredible questions, and happy birthday on May 16th. Lucian, Mom, Dad, and Ilaria love you and know you can do anything you want to do, and happy birthday on May 18th. Happy 13th birthday to Chloe on May 20th. Daddy and Mommy love you. Milo, happy birthday also on May 20th. May you have a blueberry-filled happy birthday. Max, keep asking questions and happy birthday on May 20th. Scotty Anderson, keep learning, and happy birthday on May 20th as well. Milo liked Gould, your family loves you and are so very grateful for you, and happy birthday, also on May 20th. Vita Lev Wolston, Papa, Mama, Sanders, Floor, Newton, Eclipse, Honey, and the Chickens, that's just a lot of people, all wish you a happy birthday on May 20th. Hugo Brown, Mom and Dad are proud of you and love you very much, and happy birthday on May 21st. Ellie, happy 6th birthday to the sweetest kid in town on May 22nd. Mom and Dad love you all the way to the moon and back. Adrian, happy birthday on May 23rd. Mama and Papa love you infinity. B, Beatrice, happy May 23rd birthday as well. Mom, Dad, and Daphne love you so much. Magnolia Star, you make your family so proud with your creativity, kindness, zest for knowledge, and stellar big sister skills. Happy birthday on May 24th. Pablo, happy birthday to our budding scientist on May 27th. And Will, happy birthday on May 27th as well. Thanks to all of you and to everyone who supports Tumble on Patreon. To get a birthday shout-out of your own like these fine folks, just go to patreon.com/tumblepodcast and support us at the $5 level or higher. Once again, that's patreon.com/tumblepodcast. And join us next time for more stories of science discovery and more birthday shout-outs.